The sun had been gone for over a month, swallowed by the night, and with it went any sense of peace in Barrow, Alaska. The darkness was absolute, broken only by the flickering streetlights and the hum of snowmobiles cutting through the stillness. Life continued as normal, though. Well, as normal as it could for a place where night stretched on for over 60 days. But last year, the darkness brought something else with it. Something worse. I'm chief of police for this town. I've been here for over 15 years. Seen everything there is to see in a town like this. A bar fight or two, domestic disputes, the odd tourist gets lost in the tundra. Routine, mostly. My officers, Carl and Dana, and I knew how to handle that sort of thing. We know our people, knew the land. But nothing could have prepared us for what happened last December. It began with a call from Hannah Damon. She lived on the edge of town, near the frozen coastline, where the houses were more spread out, isolated by the endless fields of snow. I still remember her phone call, her voice shaky and thin, like she was trying to keep herself from crying.
"Chief, sorry to bother you, but something's wrong. It's Charlie. He hasn't come home."
Hannah's husband, Charlie, worked for an Alaskan Native corporation, doing maintenance work at the oil facility north of town. It wasn't unusual for him to get stuck out there overnight during a storm, but this was different. There hadn't been any storm that day. He should have been home hours ago. Carl and I drove out there, the crunch of snow under the tires the only sound as we pulled up to the Damon house. Hannah was waiting outside, wrapped in a heavy parka, her breath clouding the air. The worry in her eyes was unmistakable.
"Chief, I know something's wrong," she said, her voice catching. "He always checks in."
We tried to reassure her, but a knot had already formed in my stomach. Something was off. We went to the oil facility, found Charlie's truck abandoned, door open, the inside of his truck covered in fresh drift. There was no sign of him, only blood. Dark frozen, streaked across the ice in a pattern I couldn't make sense of. Carl knelt down, running a gloved hand through the red snow.
"What the hell?"
he muttered, his breath visible in the frigid air. I crouched beside him, my heart pounding in my chest. The blood wasn't just a smear. It was a trail. And it led towards the coast. We followed it, flashlights cutting through the dark, but the further we went, the less we wanted to. The trail ended abruptly, near the frozen water's edge, with no body in sight. Just more blood. A lot more. The ice was cracking in places, deeper claw marks gouged into the surface. But what kind of animal would be out here? And why hadn't anyone heard anything? Hannah begged us to keep looking, but there was nothing else to find. Charlie was just gone. Over the next week, more people started disappearing. A hunter, a woman walking her dog, and another one of the oil workers stationed farther north. Each time, the scene was the same. Blood, signs of a violent struggle, but no bodies. With the heavy snow and wind, there was no tracks, no sign of what had taken them. We were no strangers to bears around here. Big ones, dangerous ones. But this was different. The wreckage looked deliberate, almost intelligent. The way things were torn apart, it was different than anyone had ever seen before. But I kept that to myself,
not wanting to alarm the town folk any more than they already were. Carl, Dana, and I split up the town, checking in on everyone when we could, posting warnings about venturing too far outside. The tension was suffocating. People could already be unpredictable during the long night, but this was making people act even more paranoid and on edge than usual. I'll never forget the day I found Sam Walsh. Sam ran the only general store in Barrow, which doubled as a sort of local hub for the locals. I've always liked Sam, despite his tendency to talk your ear off whenever you came in for something as simple as a pack of smokes. It was Dana who first noticed the store hadn't opened in 2 days. Sam was always early, always the first light on when the darkness settled in. But this time, the windows had stayed dark. I drove down with Carl just in case Sam had slipped on ice or had fallen ill. The snow crunched under our boots as we approached his house. The front door was already open, broken in. The old hinges had been ripped clean off, and the door frame had splintered under the force of whatever had crashed into them. The stale air hit us as soon as we stepped inside, flashlights sweeping over the cluttered shelves.
Sam?
I called out.
Sammy, you in here?
And then we found him. Sam was in the back room, slumped against the wall, or what was left of him. His chest had been torn open, ribs visible through the mess of blood and now icy, torn flesh. His eyes were wide, staring at the ceiling, frozen in an expression of sheer terror. The walls around him were painted in blood, streaks reaching all the way up to the ceiling. It was everywhere. There were tracks of something. But between the immense blood and the scene now frozen from the open door, I couldn't make it out clearly. I couldn't wrap my head around it. Carl gagged, covering his mouth as he stepped back.
Jesus, what the?
I couldn't respond. My hands were shaking. This was calculated, vicious. This wasn't just an animal hunting for food. This was something killing for sport. This was violent in a way that didn't make sense. That night, I called the town meeting at the police station. People were on edge, whispering about what had happened to Sam, what had happened to Charlie and the others. I could feel the fear in the room, thick as the darkness outside. Dana stood by my side, her face pale. Carl was by the door, rifle slung over his shoulder, scanning the crowd as if waiting for something to burst at any moment.
"We don't know what's happening yet," I began,
my voice steady despite the unease gnawing at me.
"But something's out there. We need everyone to stay inside, lock your doors, and don't go out alone."
"What about the bear patrols?"
someone asked from the back of the room.
"We haven't seen any bears near town," I replied. "But we're keeping an eye out. Dana, Carl, and I will be doing rounds."
The meeting broke up quickly, people eager to retreat to the safety of their homes, though we all knew how fragile that safety really was. It was a week later when things reached their breaking point. The night was colder than usual, the kind of cold that made the saliva inside your mouth freeze if you dared to open it. The sky was pitch black, no moon, just the endless, oppressive dark. I was in my office going over maps of the coastline, trying to make sense of the disappearances, trying to find a pattern when the power went out. The hum of the heater died, plunging the station into an eerie silence. I grabbed my flashlight and stepped into the hallway where Carl and Dana were already waiting.
"Power's out all over town," Dana said, her breath visible in the cold air. "We got a report of something moving outside near the northern edge."
"All right, well, let's go check it out," I said.
Carl nodded, his jaw tight.
Hannah Damon had also been calling about Charlie again. Said if we don't go find him, she's gonna go out and look for herself.
I cursed under my breath. Alright, I'll stop by her place first. Grab your rifles.
We split up, me heading north while Dana and Carl covered the town. The wind howled, carrying snow across the empty streets in thick, swirling waves. My flashlight flickered in the cold, casting long shadows as I made my way towards the Damon house. When I arrived, the door was open, swinging gently in the wind. Inside, the house was dark, save for the beam of my flashlight. The kitchen was empty, a half-finished meal still sitting on the table. But the back door had been ripped off its hinges, the wood splintered and jagged. My stomach dropped, knowing what I would find next. And there it was, in the snow outside, a trail of blood. I followed the blood trail through the snow, my breath heavy in the cold night air. The wind seemed to carry whispers, like the town itself was holding its breath, waiting for something to happen. I could feel the weight of the darkness pressing down on me, and for the first time in my life, I felt small out there, exposed. The trail led of blood led me to a small clearing by the coastline, where the frozen sea met the land in jagged sheets of ice. My flashlight flickered, casting eerie shadows across the snow. And then I saw her. Hannah was lying face down in the snow, her body twisted unnaturally. Her clothing had been ripped to pieces, and blood pooled around her, soaking into the frozen ground. But she was still breathing, barely. I rushed to her side, turning her over gently. Her face was pale, her lips blue, eyes wide with shock. She tried to speak, but all that came out was a raspy, gurgling sound as blood bubbled up from a wound in her chest. A chunk of flesh had been ripped from her neck.
"Help!"
she gasped, her half-missing hand gripping my arm with a surprising strength.
It's still here.
I glanced around but saw nothing. Just the vast, empty expanse of snow and ice.
"What did this to you, Hannah?" I asked, trying to keep my voice calm. "What happened?"
But she didn't answer. Her eyes glazed over, and her hand went limp. I cursed under my breath, looking all around me. There were no tracks, no sign of whatever had attacked her, but I could feel it. Something was out there, watching me. I radioed Dana and Carl, my voice low. "I found Hannah. She's dead. Whatever did this, it's close."
"Shh, we're on our way,"
Carl replied, but his voice sounded distant, hollow.
"Stay put."
But I couldn't stay put. Not with this thing out here, picking us off one by one. By the time Carl and Dana arrived, the wind had picked up, howling through the trees like a wild animal. We wrapped Hannah's body in a tarp, the three of us working in grim silence. I could tell Carl was shaken. He had been the one who had found Sam Walsh, and seeing another body like that was starting to weigh on him.
"We need to stop this thing,"
Dana said, her voice barely audible over the wind.
"Whatever it is."
Carl shook his head. "This doesn't make sense, Chief."
"I know it doesn't make sense," I agreed. "Animals don't attack like this." Dana glanced around nervously, her hand resting on the butt of her rifle.
"Then what the hell is it?"
I didn't have an answer, but deep down, I felt something primal stirring, a fear that went beyond the rational. There was something out there, something hunting us, and it wasn't going to stop. The next day, the town was in full-blown panic. People had raided Sam's general store and began barricading their homes,
arming themselves with whatever they could find. The streets were deserted, save for the occasional snowmobile darting between houses. But no one knew what they were running from. They only knew that something was out there, and that it was coming for them next. I spent the morning going door to door with Carl and Dana, checking in on the townspeople, trying to keep them calm and let them know that we were doing everything we could. But it was clear that the fear had taken hold. People weren't thinking straight. They were acting out of desperation. At one house, old Mrs. Cuffman answered the door holding a shotgun, her eyes wild with fear.
"You're not gonna let it get me, are you, Sheriff?"
she asked, her hands trembling as she gripped the gun.
"I've been hearing things, scratches at the walls at night."
I put a hand on her shoulder, trying to reassure her. "We're doing everything we can, Mrs. Cuffman. Stay inside, lock your doors, and don't go out alone. We'll get to the bottom of this." But even as I said it, I wasn't sure I believed it myself. That night, I couldn't sleep. I kept replaying everything in my head, trying to make sense of it. Whatever was out there, it was smart, and it was strong. With the first few bodies disappearing, I thought it was just some hunting people caught alone in the darkness. Wolves, maybe? But lately, the victims seemed to be killed just for the sake of it, not for food. It didn't make sense. Was it an animal? One of the townspeople? The next day, I sat at my desk, staring out the window at the blackness. The radio crackled to life beside me, Dana's voice cutting through the static.
"Shh, Tom, we've got movement near the old school building. I'm gonna go check it out."
My heart jumped into my throat. "Wait for backup," I said, grabbing my coat. "I'll meet you there." But by the time I had reached the school, it was already too late. The building was old, abandoned after the new school had been built on the other side of town. Most people avoided it, claiming it to be haunted or cursed. Kids would dare each other to go inside, but none ever stayed for long. Something about the place just didn't feel right. I pulled up outside, the wind whipping around me, snow stinging my face. The front door was ajar, swinging in the wind. I stepped inside, my flashlight casting long shadows down the empty hallways.
"Dana?"
I called, my voice echoing off the walls. No answer. I moved deeper into the building, my heart pounding in my chest. The floor creaked under my boots, and the cold seemed to seep into my bones. Something was wrong. I could feel it. And then I heard it. A low growl, deep and guttural, coming from somewhere down the hall. My stomach dropped, and for a moment, I felt frozen in a primal fear, like a field mouse encountering a tiger. But I knew I had to keep going. I had to do my job. I raised my rifle, slowly moving towards the sound. My flashlight flickered, the beam cutting through the darkness. And then, I saw it. For the first time, I saw it. At first, I thought it was a shadow, a trick of the light. But as I got closer, I realized it was something far worse. The creature was massive, its white fur matching the snow outside. It was so big that for a moment, I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me. Its eyes were black, hollow, and filled with an unnatural hunger. It stood on all fours, its massive paws tipped with the claws that looked as long as my forearm. Blood stained the white fur around its jaws. I froze, my breath catching in my throat. I didn't know what to do or where to go. It was a polar bear. But not like any bear I had ever seen before. This thing was enormous, larger than any polar bear I had ever heard of. It looked like it had crawled straight out of a nightmare, a twisted, monstrous version of the real thing. The bear's eyes locked on the mine, and for a moment, we both stood still, staring each other down. Then it charged, faster than I thought possible, lunging at me with a roar that shook the walls. I fired, the sound of the rifle deafening in the enclosed space, but the bullet barely slowed it down. It was on me in an instant, knocking me to the ground, its jaws snapping inches from my face. I scrambled back, kicking at the thing as it swiped at me with its massive paw, its claws tearing through my coat like it was nothing and tossed me like a rag doll. My rifle clattered to the floor, useless. I reached for my sidearm, fumbling with the holster as the bear lunged again. This time, I managed to roll out of the way, firing two shots into its side. The bear let out a deafening roar, staggering back, but it wasn't done. It wasn't even close to done. I stumbled to my feet, blood dripping from a gash on my arm. The bear circled me, its black eyes locking onto me. I could see the intelligence in them, the way it was sizing me up, devising a plan, waiting for the right moment to strike. I could hear the sound of my own heartbeat pounding in my ears as I backed away from the creature. Its breath came out in thick clouds of steam, and the stench of blood clung to the air. My hand was slick with sweat, gripping my sidearm tighter as I tried to steady my aim. The bear seemed to know my intentions, and I could tell even it knew it had the upper hand. In the brief seconds I had to think, my mind raced. That thing had killed my friends, my townspeople, and it wasn't going to stop until we were all dead. I couldn't die here, not like this, in some decrepit hallway in some abandoned school. I fired again, aiming for its head. The bullet grazed its skull, and for a split second, I thought that it had worked. The creature stumbled, letting out a low, rumbling growl as it shook its head, disoriented. I didn't wait for it to recover. I turned and ran, my boots pounding against the floor as I raced for the exit. The wind howled as I bursted through the doors, the cold biting into my skin like a thousand needles. Behind me, I could hear the bear recover, crashing through the building, its massive body tearing through doors and walls as it gave chase. It was faster than I could ever imagine, and I knew I didn't have long. I didn't stop running until I reached the snowmobile, the engine sputtering to life just as the bear broke through the front of the school in a blur of fur and rage. I gunned the throttle, speeding off into the darkness as fast as the machine would go, the roar of the bear fading into the distance behind me. Back at the station, Carl and Dana were waiting for me, both of them pale and shaken. The look in their eyes told me everything I needed to know. Dana had gotten to the old school first when she saw it. She had lost her radio while fleeing and was unable to warn me before I got there.
"What the hell was that thing?" Dana asked, her voice trembling. "That wasn't a normal bear."
"I don't know," I replied, still catching my breath. "But it's hunting us, and it's not going to stop. The thing isn't just hunting for food. It's killing for sport."
Carl stood by the window, staring out into the night.
"Great. An enormous rogue polar bear. We need to warn the town and get everyone to safety."
"There's no safety," I said, the weight of it all settling in. "Not with that thing out there."
The office phone rang, with one of the townspeople on the other end.
"Chief, we got something tearing through the streets of the town. It's... oh, God."
The transmission cut off with a scream, followed by the unmistakable sound of something being torn apart.
"We have to do something," Carl said, grabbing his rifle. "We can't just sit here."
"I know," I replied, grabbing my own rifle and heading for the door. "But we can't fight it like this. Not out in the open. We need to lure it somewhere, trap it, and kill it."
"Where?"
Dana asked, her eyes wide with fear. I thought for a moment, my mind racing. Then it hit me. The police station itself. Thick walls, steel doors, plenty of weapons. If we could lure the bear here,
we might have a chance. A small one, but it was better than nothing. We bring it here, I said, the plan forming in my mind. We lock it in and we kill it. The town was eerily quiet as we rode out. The streets empty, save for the occasional flicker of movement in the shadows. Most people had barricaded themselves inside their homes, but I knew that wouldn't stop the bear. If it wanted to get in, it would. The thing was a force of nature, and it was angry. We drove through the town, past bloodstains and debris left behind from attacks. At every turn, it felt like we were being watched, like the darkness itself was alive and waiting for the moment to strike. But there was no sign of the bear. Not yet. When we reached the center of town, we stopped. The plan was simple. Make enough noise to draw the thing out, and then lead it back to the station. Easy in theory, but I had a feeling it wasn't going to be as smoothly as we had hoped. Carl fired a shot into the air, the sound echoing through the empty streets. For a moment, nothing happened. Then, in the distance, I heard it. The unmistakable growl, low and menacing. The bear was coming. Get ready, I said, my heart pounding in my chest. The growling grew louder, closer. My hands trembled as I raised my rifle, scanning the darkness for any sign of movement. And then, it emerged from the shadows like a ghost, its massive white body blending with the snow. Its eyes gleamed into the dim light, focused solely on us. The bear let out a roar that shook the ground beneath our feet, charging towards us with terrifying speed. We turned and ran, leading it towards the station as fast as we could. I could hear its heavy footfalls behind us, felt the earth tremble with every step. It was close. Too close. We reached the station just in time. Carl and Dana rushed inside, and as I slammed the door shut behind us, the bear crashed into the steel, the impact reverberating through the building. It let out another roar, clawing at the door, trying to get inside. We need to hold it here, I said, my voice tight with fear. We can't let it get through. For hours, the bear circled the station, growling and clawing at the walls. Every so often, it would slam its massive body against the building, shaking the very foundation. We barricaded ourselves in the main office, the only room with the reinforced walls, but even that felt like it wouldn't hold for long. Carl sat by the window, his rifle trained at the door. Dana paced nervously, her hands shaking. I could feel the tension in the air, the fear creeping into all of us. We were trapped, with no way out and no clear plan how to kill this thing. We're running out of time, Dana said, her voice barely a whisper. If we don't do something soon... I know, I replied, my mind racing. But we can't take it head on. We need to find a way to trap it. The plan was risky, but it was all we had. We set up a makeshift barricade in the hallway leading to the main office, hoping to funnel the bear into a narrow space where we could get a clean shot. I knew it wouldn't be enough to kill it, but it might slow it down. We waited, the tension in the air thick enough to choke on. Every minute felt like an hour, and the sound of the bear's growls outside made my skin crawl. Then, suddenly, the door burst open, the bear crashing through in a blur of fur and teeth. It was even bigger than I remembered, its eyes gleaming with a savage intelligence. It moved with terrifying speed, barreling towards us, smashing through the barricade like it was nothing. I raised my rifle, firing off a shot that hit the bear square in the chest. It barely flinched, its massive form absorbing the impact as it kept coming. Carl fired too, but the bullets seemed to do little more than just anger it. The bear lunged at Carl, its jaws snapping shut around his arm with a sickening crunch. He screamed, blood spraying across the walls as the bear shook him like a rag doll. Dana fired again and again, but it was too late. Carl was gone.
The bear flung Carl's limp body aside like a discarded toy, and the sound of the broken bones echoing through the narrow hallway. Dana screamed, her voice cracking with terror as she scrambled to reload her gun, her hands trembling so badly that she fumbled the bullets. I could see the panic in her eyes, her mind racing to find an escape, but there was none. The bear turned towards us, its eyes gleaming with a malevolent intelligence, as if it knew we were trapped. Blood dripped from its mouth, staining the floor in dark pools that mixed with Carl's remains. Its breath came out in thick puffs, and the stench of death filled the air.
Dana, move!
I yelled, pulling her back just as the bear lunged. Its claws scraped the floor where Dana had just been standing only seconds before, the sound like nails on a chalkboard. We stumbled back, retreating into the office, slamming the door shut behind us. The bear roared, its massive body slamming against the steel-reinforced door. The frame groaned under the pressure, and I knew it wouldn't hold for long. Dana huddled in the corner, her face streaked with tears, her breath coming in shallow gasps.
We can't kill it,
she whimpered, clutching her gun like it was the last thread tethering for her sanity.
It's not just a bear.
We have to try, I said, though I didn't believe my own words. There was no reasoning with this creature, no understanding it. It wasn't just a predator. It was something worse, something feral and unstoppable, as if nature itself had turned against us. The door buckled under the force of the bear's assault, and I knew we only had seconds before it broke through. Desperation clawed at my mind, and I scanned the room for anything that we could use, anything that might slow down the creature. My eyes landed on a small metal cabinet in the corner, one I knew held the emergency shotgun and extra rounds. Without wasting a second, I yanked it open, grabbing the shotgun and slamming the handful of shells into it. The door behind us was starting to crack, splintering as the bear's claws gouged into the wood. We watched in horror as the beast tore its way through, its jaws snapping at the air as it pushed its massive head through the broken door. I fired, the shotgun blast hitting the bear square in the face. It recoiled, letting out a deafening roar, but the shot hadn't done what I had hoped. The pellets barely seemed to penetrate its thick fur and muscle. It only pissed it off more. With a final heave, the door gave way entirely, and the bear barreled into the room, knocking over desks and filing cabinets as it advanced. I kept firing, pumping round after round into it, but the beast was relentless.
"Go! Run!"
I shouted to Dana, pushing her towards the far side of the room. She hesitated only for a moment before darting for the door. I fired one last shot at the bear's head, buying myself a few precious seconds, and then I followed her. We ran through the back hallways of the station, the sound of the bear's heavy footfalls echoing behind us. I could feel it getting closer, the floor shaking with every step. My lungs burned from the cold air, and my legs felt like lead, but I couldn't stop. Not now. Dana and I bursted into the storage room, our last refuge in the station. It was a large, windowless space cluttered with old evidence boxes, shelves, and a few rusted lockers. There was nowhere left to run. The bear would tear this place apart. We closed the door silently behind us. "We can't keep running," I whispered breathless. "We have to end this."
"How?"
Dana cried, her voice rising in hysteria.
"We've shot it, we've trapped it, nothing works, it's gonna kill us."
I didn't have an answer, but there was one last thing I hadn't tried, something that might just be enough to take the bear down for good. In the far corner of the room, behind a pile of old supplies, sat a single rusted gas canister. It was left over from when the station had been heated by a backup generator years ago, before the upgrade to a more modern system. It was old, probably unstable, but it might be our only hope. I grabbed the canister, lunging it across the room as fast as I could.
Dana's eyes widened in realization as she watched me struggle with the heavy metal canister.
Oh, great idea. You're going to blow us all up,
she said, fear and disbelief warring her voice. Not if we do it right, I said. We can't kill this thing with bullets, but we could sure as hell burn it alive. Outside the door, we heard heavy footsteps approaching. I held up a finger against my lips to Dana, hoping for a moment that maybe the bear wouldn't find us. My hope was in vain, as the bear roared again, slamming its body against the door to the storage room, shaking the walls. It wouldn't be long now. Get out through the crawl space, I said, pointing to the wall hatch in the corner of the room. I'll keep it here, lure it close enough to the gas. Once you're outside, I'll blow this place sky high. Dana stared at me, frozen for a moment, then nodded, her resolve hardening. She hurried to the crawl space, pulling the hatch open and squeezing herself through the narrow opening. The second she disappeared from sight, the bear broke through the door. It stood in the doorway, panting, its eyes locking onto mine with a feral hunger. I took a step back, holding the shotgun in one hand and the gas canister in the other.
Come on, you big bastard,
I muttered under my breath. The bear charged and I didn't hesitate. I threw the canister towards the creature, then raised the shotgun, aiming for the gas. The bear lunged at me just as I pulled the trigger. The explosion rocked the station, fire and debris filling the air in a deafening roar. The heat hit me like a freight train, knocking me off my feet and slamming me against the far wall. For a moment, I couldn't breathe, couldn't see anything through the smoke and fire. My ears rang, my vision blurred. But then I saw it. The bear. Or what was left of it. Its massive body was engulfed in flames, thrashing wildly as it let out one final agonizing roar. The fire consumed it, scorching its fur and charring its flesh as it writhed. I could feel the heat searing my skin, the smoke choking the air from my lungs, but I didn't move. I just watched, numb. The bear finally collapsed in a smoldering heap. It was over. I made my way out of the station and met Dana outside. Dana and I stood outside, watching as the fire burned itself out, leaving nothing but blackened walls and the stench of burnt flesh. Her hands trembled as she helped hold me up.
You did it,
she whispered, her voice hoarse.
You actually killed it.
I nodded, though I didn't feel any triumph. The weight of everything that had happened, everyone we had lost, pressed down on me like a crushed burden. Carl, the townspeople we lost. It was all too much. As we stood in the ruins of the station, I couldn't shake the feeling that we hadn't seen the last of it. What if there were more of them like this, out there, waiting in the darkness? The next time, we might not be so lucky. The long dark nights of Alaska had always been a part of life in Barrow, but now, they would never feel the same again. Not after what we had seen, what we had survived. The sun rose a couple of weeks later, but for me, the shadows would always be there, lurking just out of sight. The polar nights begin again next month. I need to prepare.